Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, everybody. We're in a series called Relationships. If you weren't here last week, I spoke about relationships in terms of courtship, dating, and that whole period in between singlehood and marriage. So if you didn't have a chance to hear it, we have it up on our podcast. If you're on iTunes, you can just search for it on your podcast app. Just search for Every Nation Brisbane and you'll find us there. But today, being Father's Day, I wanted to speak about our Father, our Heavenly Father, and how He is a model for us in fatherhood. So if you have your Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to start from verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, I'll throw it up on the screen for you. It says here in verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan." Everybody say, Galilee to the Jordan. I just want to break this part of the scripture down before we get into the crux of what we want to talk about today. For those of you who don't know, if you've seen a map of Israel, Galilee is to the north and then it flows through the River Jordan down towards the Dead Sea. But in order to move from Galilee, you need to move down. There's something significant in the prophetic nature of it. It's not just geographic, but Jesus, in many ways, left heaven to come down to earth. And I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. Now, John is, of course, many refer to him in church history as John the Baptist. It doesn't mean he's a denominationally a Baptist. More correctly, he would be called John the Baptizer, because he does baptize people. But this is also his cousin. How many of you have got a lot of cousins? Yeah. All right, some of you are ashamed of the gospel of the cousin. Can't raise your hand. That's all right. Verse 14, probably because they owe you money. John would have prevented him saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me?" Now check this out, okay? So John is his cousin. John is actually his older cousin, but Jesus comes to him. And of course, John recognizes who Jesus is. Coming down from heaven to earth. He's more than just a cousin. He's the savior of the universe. And so what John ends up doing is he starts to get this false humility on him. He starts to say, I'm not actually ready to baptize you. I should be baptized by you. I just wanted to give this as a caveat and just as an intro to what I want to talk about today, because I really feel in my spirit that as I was preparing for this, there are some of us that are missing opportunities that the Holy Spirit opens for us because of false humility. What do I mean by that? When God opens up a door for you to walk in faith towards, often at times we hesitate because we think, oh, nah, it's okay. I don't really want to do that, or I'm not worthy of walking in that because I'm imperfect. Well, first of all, yes, you're right. You are imperfect. But how many of you know that he who knew no sin became sin so that we could be called the righteousness of God? Therefore, we should rise up in these opportunities that Jesus gives us. I mean, shouldn't John actually be honored to be the one to baptize Jesus? Are you with me? Yeah. Are you with me? Like, John shouldn't have hesitated. This is an opportunity, and I just really sense prophetically by the Spirit of the Lord today that God is giving some of us opportunities to take the gospel into areas, and we hesitate because we think, oh, I'm not worthy to walk like this. There's some of us, and culturally, that we come from cultures that celebrate false humility. That's not humility. That's actually disobedience. And so I just really wanted to just give this at the top, because it's going to set up everything that follows with regards to fatherhood. But then he consented. John consented. And then verse 16, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" The title of my message today is Dad, the Endangered Species. I told you that this is called Relationships. This is a whole series. We're going to keep it real. All right, tell me somebody, just encourage them. We're going to keep it real today. Not to get real. Okay, this is not just for the dads, all right? How many single ladies you got up in here? All right. This is going to help minister to you, because how many of you single ladies are believing one day? Amen. One day. God, hook you up with daddy. How many of you? Oh, there's only like four hands in there, Tina. We need to pray. But for those of you who are in faith that one day God will hook you up with Daddy, you got to know the qualities, the biblical qualities of a father, okay? In order to know what God would therefore bring in our lives. For those of us who are married, it's also, this message will also hit us by the Spirit of God in terms of determining the qualities of what it means to be, not just a daddy, but a man of God. Yeah. So even for my single brothers in here, you know, I'm really believing that this will minister to your soul in terms of what God and how God has designed us to be. So before we go any further, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Spirit that is here, Lord, that gives us this word that is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that with that sword, you're able to cut away between bone and marrow. Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts for what is to be brought forth from heaven towards us. Lord, I want to move out of the way, that we would hear directly from the throne room of heaven today, Lord, that you would deliver to us what you desire to speak to your kids as our Heavenly Father. We thank you, and we determine in our hearts to praise you on this beautiful Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, God. In Jesus' name, someone shout amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. On Thursday, I had the honor of going alongside the My Story 61 crew with Lily and Alex and Pepe. And, you know, there's a bunch of them that go out there. There's the Harvey twins and Michael Patti and Maya comes out. And so there's a bunch of them that go out. And basically what they do with this program is they go into into Waco Remand Center, which is a prison here in our city, and they've run a 10-week program which is blatantly Christian, blatantly takes the gospel and uses biblical principles in order to raise up leaders that are empowered by the Holy Spirit to see transformation in their lives. And I just got to see the cherry on top. So I went in on Thursday, and some of you may recognize the tall man in the middle there, Israel Folau, who's the star player of our national rugby team here in Australia. Let us pray for the Wallabies. It was great to see the transformation in these men over the last 10 weeks that this team have been going in there regularly, consistently, just showing the love of Christ and sharing biblical principles as to how you can see the transformation of God in your life as one who has grown up, you know, just so far away from the will of God, but now experiencing the love of the Father. And so I was in there. They had a couple of guitars, and I jumped on this little keyboard they had there. You know, the ones that your kids play on. So I got to jump on there and help them out. It's hard to play those keyboards with big sarmon fingers, but we try our best. And so I'm playing, and these guys, I mean, these guys, you think I'm big. These guys are like twice my height and twice my girth, and they are crying as they're singing that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I'm sitting there, just witnessing the transformation of these men who are criminals, you know, who have committed heinous crimes, but have seen the transformation from a father who indeed loves them. You know, statistically, in our nation and in the United States, it's between 85% to 90% of the men who are in remand centers, detention centers, and prisons are fathers. And so we went in on Thursday. It was great to hear Brother Izzy come in and share his testimony about how God transformed his life as a rugby star, but was so empty, making all the money and having all the accolades. It's funny how you have somebody who's down and out, and then you have somebody share their testimony from a position of being up and out, and then how Christ transformed his life. It was an amazing, anointed time, and I really want to honor Lily and Alex and Pepe and the team that go in there regularly. See, part of being a good representative of the Father's consistency. And so this is an example of somebody who's down and out, but I wanted to give you an example of somebody who's extremely up and out. And the next picture that I want to show you is a guy named Steve Aoki. Those of you who are into EDM or electronic dance music will know that this guy is the it guy right now. He is the DJ that performs in front of hundreds and thousands of people every night. He is the most traveled musician working today and traveling tens of thousands of miles a year, performing over 300 shows a year. And these are stadium shows. These are not like your little clubs. These are stadium shows where he just grinds and works hard. And he recently just released a documentary called, aptly called, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. in the documentary, he goes on to talk about how the whole reason why he is, to say he's a workaholic is an understatement. The whole reason why he pursues his music this way, so driven to the point where it's really bad for his health sometimes, is because he's chasing after the appeasement of his now dead father. His father, see, was Rocky Aoki, and Rocky Aoki started the franchise of restaurants in the United States called Benihana. And for those of you who have ever dined at a Japanese restaurant where the chef will cut the food up and throw the knives around and toss ingredients around and throw prawns in your mouth and all that, like, does it like a show? Have any of you ever been to that sort of Japanese restaurant? Well, his dad was the first one to initiate it back in the 70s. And so he was very driven in that sense as a businessman. He was also an Olympic wrestler. He was a stunt dude. I mean, he was very driven. Thing is, he hardly spent any time at home. Steve was raised by his mom more because his dad was often out running his businesses. He was often out, trying to publicize, before social media, trying to publicize his businesses. And that was his measure of success when his kids, his daughter even is a supermodel, but they've craved the attention of the father. So here we have two examples, one here from right here in Brisbane and one in the United States of America. It's interesting because Steve Aoki goes on to say in the documentary that the most precious time he had with his father was just before he died, just sitting with him and crying. And that was the fulfillment of him being, that was the most precious time he had with the father, just regretting all the times, both of them coming to the point where they regretted all the times that they missed. And to this point where now Steve Aoki is so driven because he's still looking to fill the void that is missing from the father. I present to you today the reason why 9 out of 10 problems and issues that we deal with in society can be answered if we can eliminate fatherlessness. And I know that's as real relationships can get. But if there is a relationship that we need to deal with, and I'm really proud of the men in this house that would say, you know what, even if you're single today, you make a decision to say, I am not going to let somebody else raise my children. I will take responsibility for my house. I will guide and lead the spiritual direction of my home. Manhood is synonymous with responsibility. See, the first sin actually came onto planet Earth when Adam refused to take responsibility for his wife, who was partaking of the fruit. The Bible says that Adam was with her in Genesis 3 the whole time. See, us as men, we abstain sometimes from our responsibility of covering our families, covering our wives. And if you, a single man, can learn this as early as now, I'm telling you, you will be such a blessed man when God should so bring you into a time when you are married. If you can learn this now, manhood equals responsibility. And when we look at the exemplary point that Jesus made at the cross, he took the responsibility of the sin of the world upon his shoulders. That is what it means to be the man. But unfortunately, throughout society, we have different definitions of law. He's the man because he's got lots of girls. Is he responsible with those girls? Obviously not. Last week, we talked about how the world spells love, T-A-K-E, whereas God spells love, G-I-V. For God so loved the world that he took? No, he gave. And he gave his best. And so us as my brothers in the house today, we are serious about taking responsibility for the positioning of not just our families, but we are the answer for Brisbane City. That if we rise up as men and take our rightful place, leading our families the way that Christ loved the church, I'm telling you, we would solve 9 out of 10 of society's problems. Can I get an amen from amen? Somewhere. All right. Let's go back to scripture in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. We like John 3:16. Let's go to Matthew 3:16. It says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. So back to my point, Jesus came down from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized, go down and then coming up. And I want you to see that as his basic story. He leaves heaven to earth, was born in the lowest of places, and then through his baptism, how many of you know Jesus didn't necessarily need to be baptized? Because, I mean, what is he dying to, right? Like, when you are baptized, you go under the water, cut off old sin. It's like Jesus didn't even need to be in the water. He is holy. He is righteous. He is God in flesh. And so he's pure. So there's no need for him to be baptized, but prophetically what he is showing is that he has come from heaven to earth, will be laid down in the grave, but will be resurrected in 3 days. And so what we see here in Scripture, immediately he went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. Now I'm going to give you just some qualities of a father. Are you ready for this? Just really quickly. Qualities of a father. Qualities actually of a man of God. All right, are you ready for this? You good? Number one, real daddy's disciple. We do not disorient. What I mean by disorient, confuse. Like, we bring clarity in the way that we disciple within the realm of fatherhood. I know it's my responsibility, and I want you to hear this, okay? Just because I carry the title of pastor, just because I'm the pastor of this house, I'm far from perfect at this. But by the grace of God, I rely on His grace to be able to disciple my children. Yes, I am a husband to my wife, but I am the primary discipler of my kids. Doesn't mean I carry the title of pastor. Like, I don't get my pulpit and go home, okay, kids, I'm your pastor now. No, that's not this. Like, when I go home, I'm daddy to my kids. But I am responsible to create an environment where my children can meet Jesus. See, the whole objective of discipleship is not necessarily cloning, but it's that teaching them to obey. So I need to give them the tools that they need to be able to succeed in making great choices that glorify God. That is discipleship. And so in my home, I take responsibility for creating that environment. See, we disorient our families when we abstain from that responsibility. When we are kind of like, leave it to our wives or our significant others to raise our children on the solo. You know, like, it's one thing for fathers to not be present physically, but some of us fathers show more love from our thumbs to our remotes than actually spending time being present with our children.
Relations, just keeping it real.
Are we okay with that? I mean, I'm not okay with that, but are you cool if I go there? But now it's important for us as men to create that environment. And I know we're tired. A lot of us go to work, we come home, and we're running on fumes, but, you know, like, we have to give our family our best time. We need to disciple our children. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I think it bore mentioning today, because it's actually a point of fallibility on my part. So many of you may remember this. About 2 months ago, my family and I went on vacation in Melbourne. I was preaching in a church there in Melbourne, and I saw Tina walk off to the side, and she was talking with another pastor's wife, and she was talking about, hey, can we go, do you know any places where we can go down and feed the poor of Melbourne? And I was looking at her, and I'm like, man, we are on vacation, girl. What are you doing trying to make missional plans during our vacation? I just want to eat and sleep and repeat the cycle. You know, like, she's going over there, like, trying to, you know, we want to go to feed the poor, or we want to go and meet the poor and the broken of Melbourne. Do you know a place? And of course this pastor's wife, you know, knows a place, because she's radiant with the Spirit of the Lord, and she's talking to Tina. Yes, actually, I have friends down at the Salvation Army, and I'm sitting there, you know, like, I have to be careful right now, because I'm a pastor, right? And I just finished preaching the Word of God, and we're at the front of the church, and so they're talking, and I'm hearing this, and all I'm thinking about is, man, I can't wait to lie in bed and just relax and just play with my kids and swim and eat something bad and sleep and repeat the cycle, go for a massage, and she's over here, Mother Teresa, making these plans. But people are watching, right? So I have to be careful as to how I respond. So Tina turns to me, and she's like, what do you think, honey? Now, Daddy, you know what's up, right? Like, at that point, you need to come with it, right? You can't just be all like, no, woman, it's crazy. So I, you know, like, the pastor's wife is looking at me, the other pastor's wife is looking at me, my wife is looking at me, waiting for my response. I'm like, yes, amen. Amen, girl. We should go down there. We should feed the poor. And so we go, okay, long story short, we go there. I think it was like the Wednesday, and we roll in there with my kids. And we get in there, and like, the program has already started, and the person we're supposed to connect with is not there. And so, of course, I'm like, oh, we tried, Tina. We really tried. Let's go get a burger. You know, like, and so Tina is there, And of course, being led by the Spirit, she looks to the side, and there's this like dark alley on the side. And many of you, I won't prolong the story by talking about the guy. There was a guy outside there with a ram. And I was like, just interested in, there's a dude in the middle of the CBD with a ram. I was just tripping out on that. I won't spend too long on that. But my point is, Tina went into the alley, saw this woman there being led by the Spirit, took Nazareth, my eldest daughter, and started praying and prophesying over this woman, got Nazareth to prophesy over this woman. And I was just standing there going, no, you're an idiot. You should have been the one to lead this charge, you know, providing this environment where my kids can encounter the presence of God. See, I learned a valuable lesson. Is it okay if I share my fallibility with you all? I just want to, you know, destroy the idol of worshiping pastors, because I'm definitely not one worth worshiping. I'm far from perfect. And, you know, it's hard being married to Mother Teresa, but, you know. Anyway, moving on. Matthew chapter 3. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son. See, good fathers, they define. They add definition to their children. They bring definition. Like, I love my son. Many of you know my son has autism, and he's still not fully speaking. He speaks like short phrases, but I know he can understand. Behind it all, I know he can understand what I'm saying. So I look him in the eyes, and he's just smiling. I mean, 24 hours, this young boy is smiling. Even when he's asleep, he's like, see? just always smiling. And so I look him in the eyes, and I'm just prophesying over him. You are a great young man of God. You will prophesy in the nations. You will speak. Like, I'm adding definition to this boy, because if I don't, the world will. And you wonder why girls are chasing after being more like Nicki Minaj than wanting to chase after the will of God for their lives. It's because daddy wasn't there to define them. That you are a young woman of God. You're virtuous. You are pure. You are holy. God has called you to know him as your father. And I am going to protect and serve you in such a manner that your destiny will be fulfilled. And under my watch and under my roof, I will make sure that this is a place where you feel safe to worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We define that for our children. We add definition. That's why God the Father says to his son, this is my son. He defines son. I've got a few stats here. See, because one of three living homes apart from biological fathers here in Australia, and 85% of youths in prison, I mentioned this, come from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. You're seven times more likely as a young woman to become pregnant as a teen if you don't have a father in your home. Australian primary school study shows that in every field of study, every single subject, children who lived with married parents performed better than single parents. Melbourne University study of 212 children found that fathers, even more than mothers, had major beneficial influence on their children in their first year of school. You're 120% more likely to be at risk of child abuse, and 63% of these youth suicides come from fatherless homes. I present to you, my brothers and sisters, that fathers are the answer to a lot of society's issues and problems. And to my dads here, look, I know some of us didn't have great dads. Some of us may have not had dads at all, but it's our choice as brothers to stop the cycle here and start taking responsibility for our homes. Matthew 3, again, coming back to that verse, this is my beloved son. See, it's the father's responsibility to delight in his children. See, if my children don't know about the affection of the father, they will seek it somewhere else, especially my daughters. See, I'm setting a high bar for anybody that wants to date and marry my girls. I'm taking my girls on dates. And I'm setting it real high. So if anybody wants to try and get with my Nazareth and Jordan eventually, you know, when they're 45, I'm setting the bar real high, because, you know, Nazareth will be like, nah. Daddy did it this way, and in order for you to take me anywhere, you've got to be dead. See, but if daddy is not setting a precedence for For the daughters, the bar is way low. In fact, the bar is the bar, going to the bar. And so what ends up happening is there's this crying for affection. Show me attention, show me affection, because I didn't have a daddy who showed it to my sisters here. Please, 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 just understand that you are at a point of choice. You do not have to go and lower the bar to the bar. You don't have to do that. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And if you didn't have a father in the physical, just know you have a heavenly Father who values you so much that he laid his son down to die for you because he wants you to know you're a princess of the Most High God. And it's not worth giving up your it from last week just because the bar is lower to the bar. And for us as brothers, for us as men, this is where it's at. For my daddies in here, I know it may be hard because, you know, maybe we didn't receive affection from our daddies. But when's the last time you actually took your daughters and told them you love them, found out what their love language is? Maybe it's not physical touch. Maybe they just, you know, love quality time. When's the last time you took some quality time out with your daughters or your son? And you turn the phone off so they know the color of your eyes more than the Apple logo on the back of your phone. And they actually had your attention. Even if they ask the same question 5 times like my daughter does. I just answered that question. You're going to make me answer it again. And I love the reason why she just wants to talk because she wants daddy to answer. When's the last time we did that? As fathers, it's our job to delight in them. It's our job to hold our daughters like they are valued. Because there's far too much perversion that would try to rob the opportunities of the daughters and the sons of receiving the love of the Father if we don't do it as them. This is my beloved son. Check this out. With whom I am. Present, right? With whom I am. See, as fathers, God has called us to be demonstrative and not operate from a distance. This is my beloved son, with whom I am. You're present. But with whom I am, what? Well pleased. Not just pleased. You know, it's looking your sons and daughters in the eyes. And I know many of us brothers never received that. Never received that from our fathers. Being told we did a good job. So we end up operating like Steve Aoki, trying to work ourselves into the ground in order to achieve some sort of affection or attention. When really, now as followers of Christ, the only attention and affection we need is from the audience of one, who is the Father, our Heavenly Father. And so we switch, we change, we stop the cycle. We say, enough is enough. No one is going to outpraise my daughters and my sons from me. Like, I am going to be their loudest cheerleader. I'm going to drown everybody out at their rugby gate. I'm not going to, put the phone down. I'm going to go, come on, son, get him, man. Tackle him. That's right. That's right. It's my boy. That's what the Father does to us. He does for us. Come on, you can take that devil. Take him down. You can take him. He's shouting from heaven, and he's got the angels with him. Come on, my daughter. Come on, my son. You can do this in faith. I believe that you can do this. You can go through this. And in the same way, us as fathers, we are the ones that need to operate that way as well, cheering and showing much pleasure in our kids. See, for those of us who are sons and daughters here, which is
pretty much all of us,
maybe we didn't receive that from our parents. But please, I'm not demeaning that that has happened, but please, you are at an opportunity of responsibility, both men and women in here, as to how you respond to what has happened. Do you let that be baggage that therefore restricts you from entering into the will of God in full freedom? Or do you restrict the voices of what's been said about your past? The past is in the past. And the Olympics, right? I know the Olympics is just finished, but how many of you watch the gymnastics? Well, gymnastics is a sport. I'm always fascinated by the balance beam. Have you seen the balance beam and how they do these somersaults on this little piece of wood? And this example is not original of me, but I just thought this is just such a great example of how, as fathers, we create an environment where people, where our children feel safe enough to take risks and throw themselves into their faith to the glory of God. And so, you know, they will be on the balance beam, right? And they will do these flips and turn, and then it always ends like this right here. But imagine that the balance beam is life, and this is the way we teach our kids to live this life. balancing on the balance beam. You kind of go like this. Like this. And then like this. You hold onto it. And then you go like this. That's your life. And that's the way you teach your kids to live their lives. Play it safe. I love what Sarnell quoted C.S. Lewis last week. I'll quote him again. He says, God is good, but he's not safe. In fact, when fathers rise up and provide that environment where they know, the kids know, that they can take risks in order to please a God who was wanting them to step out in faith, you better believe that that balance beam is going to be nothing to them. They will jump over the balance beam, do triple somersaults all the way to Kenya on the mission field. They will heal the sick, heal the poor in the name of Jesus. They will transform plant churches, do campus ministry. I mean, they will transform nations if us as fathers provide that environment where our kids feel safe, not in a safe place where we don't take risks, but they feel like, man, my dad set an example of what it means to walk out in faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I'm really believing by the Spirit of God that, especially for my brothers, for my men of God here, that we are here to create this environment for our families. And for those of you who are single men in here, you need to start now. Don't wait until you get the hookup. Start now. Start now as men of God saying, no, look, I'll take responsibility for my walk with God. I'm going to take responsibility to declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord of every single area of my life. I'm going to get rid of every other addiction that I have, and I'm going to start walking out in the power and the authority that God has given me, so that when the time comes, I'll glorify Him even more with the right person at the right time, because I'm empowered by His Holy Spirit to do so. And I'm willing, and it's not a matter of just not doing stuff or don't do this, but it's also a matter of what we do, like taking action. And God is looking for a generation of brothers who will take action for this generation, who would say, not just over their own homes, but would say over our city of Brisbane, not on my watch. Not on my watch. The enemy has been taking far too many people out. But it's not going to, as long as I'm alive, living and breathing, and living here in Brisbane, enemy will not take any more territory, because I will be responsible as a father to the fatherless, because I have a heavenly Father who loves me. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.